The Senate will come to order. Will everyone in the Senate and the upper galleries please rise for the prayer of our chaplain, the Reverend Gauck, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 118th Psalm we hear, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." We do give you thanks and praise, O Lord, for our spring break that we have had and now return refreshed, refashioned, and ready to do the work that is set before us. May we use the time here to be about the work that you would have us do. And so we pray, guide and direct our days so our time is used effectively and is helpful for the people we serve. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Pearls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lauger, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from Polk. A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, would you please read the journal for Thursday, March 14th?
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 36th day, Thursday, March 14th.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with, the same be approved as though it was fully read.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have passed that motion. Madam Secretary, would you please read the journal for Friday, March 22nd?
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 37th day, Friday, March 22nd, 2013. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
I move that further reading of the journal for Friday, March 22nd, 2013 be dispensed with and the same be approved as open fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading of that journal is dispensed with. Is there another one? Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, or introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd. I'm sorry, from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Third reading, Senate bills. Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 241, the Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 241 be brought before the body for third reading and final
You've
passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 241 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. For the members, a reminder, before we left for break, we perfected this. This is the wireless tower permitting process. It essentially streamlines and creates a uniform process for permitting wireless infrastructure throughout the state. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, Mr. President, I'd renew my motion for third reading.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from Andrew? For what purpose is Senator from 11th right?
Third reading.
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Mr. President, there's a provision in here that deals with rates that would be where cities would work with telecommunication providers. I felt like I should talk a little bit about this bill and the reservations, a little bit about it, because it deals with my own community in the 11th Senatorial District. Now, the rates that a telecommunication provider would pay to a city, a municipal utility to use their poles have not been raised since 1963, and no rates have been raised at all on that. So independence officials have asked providers to come to the table to discuss bringing the contracts into compliance with new technology standards, but providers have not responded, so city officials sent them a starting point. And the cable companies should come to the table when these municipalities and municipal utilities have this opportunity. So what happened in Independence is they moved the rates up dramatically from the 1963 rates to what it should be now, and the telecommunication providers felt like it was too high, and this bill helps try to rectify that in a maybe unfair way. Cities are only looking for a cost-based approach to allow telecommunication providers to use municipally owned utility poles, not to raise revenue, just something that's consistent with what they need to do their business. Anything less is asking utility ratepayers to subsidize private cable providers, and then they're not even cable subscribers. This is an issue that needs to happen now on the Senate floor, but I would really encourage the cable companies to negotiate with City Hall and those municipal utilities to come up with something. This bill deals with this. It was stronger when the senator from Nottoway brought this out, but I think it's incumbent on me to make sure that we're pushing telecommunication providers, cable companies particularly, to work with municipal utilities, because that's the best way for these things to happen as opposed to legislation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 1st.
To inquire the senator from the 11th, please.
Does the senator from the 11th yield?
Yes.
He yields, you may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. I heard your speech on the bill, but I want to make sure I understand where you're coming from here. Could you please just concisely explain to me what your view of this is?
Oh, Senator, I just tried.
No, and I appreciate that, and you were doing it at a pace that unfortunately made it a little hard for me to follow.
I apologize for that. I want to make sure I didn't take up too much time. There are other issues that will take up quite a bit of time. There is a provision in this bill that deals with the issue of municipal utilities and the rates they charge telecommunication providers.
Okay.
It stemmed from my community, the City of Independence Municipality, their utility, raising the rates to use their poles. And they only raised the rates because they haven't been raised since 1963. Well, if you look at a rate that should have been in 1963 compared to 2013, that looks pretty
years.
Dramatic.
Yeah, 50
when
years.
When in fact, they just took everything into account in the last 50 plus years. So the real answer, as opposed to legislation, Senator, is that these companies need to deal with these municipal utilities and City Hall to get these things together, because this will happen more and more often.
So do you think it's appropriate for us to take legislative action and move forward as we propose in 241?
Well, I would prefer that we would urge these companies to work directly with the local municipality to get these things together and have a fair conversation, as opposed to state government coming in and telling them what they can and cannot do.
Okay, well, that's helpful. I appreciate that. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from Nottoway? Sponsor the bill.
Does the senator from Andrew yield?
Yeah.
Proceed.
Well, this is our first bill back from spring break, and I will confess I recall the discussion of this on perfection. And am I remembering correctly, did we have some amendments that were put on and or debated on your bill?
Yeah, I think we had there were amendments or not. I can't remember off the top of my head.
This happens when we're back from break, first bill out.
I think there were a couple amendments. I want to talk about specifically the amendment that the senator from the 11th is talking about. This actually came, I believe, the situation that occurred was the municipal utility increased the rate by 300%. What has happened from the time we perfected this bill to now when we're third reading has been a series of discussions with us anyway about what's happening in the process. I will tell you that this provision is definitely a work in progress. We've visited with the folks in the House. They also understand this is a work in progress, so the concerns of the senator from the 11th raised, we're aware of, we're trying to help get resolved. My understanding is that the cable company that this is happening to was provided notice on two or three occasions, have chosen not to engage in discussions with the local community. Therefore, the city utility, whatever you want to call it, put out this 300% price increase. They know that's not where it's going to end up, but they're trying to get the cable company to come to the table so they can have a real discussion about a legitimate rate that, you know, is more current than the one that was established in the 1960s, which is what they're operating under today. So my point, Senator, is we know what we have in here today is fluid. It's a work in progress. This is not the final piece, but we are where we are, so we're going to keep moving through the process, understanding that it's going to change as we go.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I know the last 16 pages of the bill are all in boldface, and it flows from it starts on page 8, and it starts with the reference to the Uniform Wireless Communications Infrastructure Deployment Act. Are the last 16 pages of your bill simply a uniform act?
I'm sorry?
Are the last 16 pages of your bill, we start on page 8 with some boldface type, and it continues on all the way through page 24. And section 67.5090 says this shall be known as the Uniform Wireless Communications Infrastructure Deployment Act. Are the last 16 pages of your bill simply a model act, something that would have been taken up in a number of states, presumably?
Yeah, there are two different pieces of it. One is the Uniform Wireless Act, which has been passed in other states. There are also some components like towards the end of the bill, there's one that deals specifically with railroad right-of-ways and getting access there. And what was happening, the railroad companies themselves have been very reasonable to work with. There were a couple situations where there were, what they call them, land management companies, basically companies who held rights to the land, even though the railroad actually had the tracks through it. As companies were coming and trying to put telecommunication services under those facilities, typically whenever that happens and they work in conjunction with the railroad charges them $500, $1,000, $1,500, you know, some reasonable fee. The management companies were holding out, and literally in our case in Missouri, situations where they were charging like $40,000 and $50,000. And essentially extorting these companies into paying these crazy amounts. When this started happening in other states, the legislatures acted and put a cap in place. And so we just took the model language that's been used in other states and applied it here.
And it looks like that language starts on page 19.
Right.
Am I following correctly? 389.585. And is that then the last five pages of your bill are addressing that?
I think that's right, Senator.
Okay.
I think from there on is all the railroad stuff.
And I apologize. We're here on third read. We're back from break.
That's okay.
I reviewed the bill when it came up for perfection. It's just been a little while, and I appreciate your refreshing my recollection.
Well, and I don't want to mislead anyone. This bill, like any other bill that is worked on this early in the process, from when we left here, you know, 10 days ago to today, there's been a lot that's already transpired. We know that we're going to continue to change, and so there are several components that I guess the parties on each side have worked on it while we were gone and have come back with other suggestions as well. So with all fairness.
Sure. Which is to say, we won't necessarily be astonished if to the extent something is truly agreed and finally passed at the end of the day, it might look a little bit different than what's being presented on third read now. But we are where we are in the process. We've
Correct.
Perfected the bill to the extent we want to keep moving forward. There's only one way for the Senate to do it at this point, and that's to pass it on third read.
I feel pretty confident telling you, Senator, that the bill before us will not be truly agreed and finally passed. I also feel confident, and whether it's the House bill or this bill coming back before this body, that is going to occur. There's no way that we get to where we need to be without that.
And just one other question, I think. Famous last words. The provision in your bill pertaining to the Uniform Wireless Communication Infrastructure Deployment Act, are there any modifications from the Uniform Act that you're aware of in the language that's in this? Or is it straight the Uniform Act that we have in this bill?
I don't believe there are, Senator, but in all fairness, I did not go back and read the statutes of others. It was like bullet points that we talked about, things that we were comfortable with, not comfortable with, and use that accordingly.
And I understand I'm not meaning to,
yeah.
No pop quiz intended. I just, you're not aware of any deviation from the Uniform Act, and I understand that it's possible there may be one, but there's none that you're aware of.
That's correct.
Senator, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion on third reading and final passage. Read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 241, an act relating to infrastructure facilities deployment. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from Franklin. Senator from the second. Hey, Dusty. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having achieved a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of Senate bills for perfection. I would ask you to call the calendar.
Senate bills for perfection. SJR 14, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you place that bill on the informal calendar?
Place it on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 72, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 72 be brought before the body for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 72 be perfected. This bill simply declares the month of May Motorcycle Awareness Month. You know, we've seen an increase in the use of motorcycles. Along with that's come an increase in accidents. And it's always good to have a time period of the year where through PSAs and other things, we just make people aware that motorcycles are there and that they need to watch out for them and the driving conditions are a little different for motorcycles than vehicles, cars, that is.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 7th seeks recognition. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Boone.
Do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I was glad to see this this bill brought forth. Are you a rider yourself?
You know, I still have my license. I don't own a bike right now, but I've rode for years and keep my license active.
Okay. I don't know if you know, but we have a motorcycle caucus here in the General Assembly, and occasionally when it gets nicer, we'll go out for a ride. I'll let you know.
Well, my wife told me when the kids get older, I can buy another one, but not until
I know where you can get one when you're ready. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the perfection motion of Senate Bill 72? The senator from the 9th was the first on her feet.
Thank you. I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest today.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, we have Mr. Bob Kendrick, who's president of the Negro League Baseball Museum in my district, of course, in Kids. Yep, step. stay back, in Kansas City, Missouri, who happens to be here in the Capitol with us today. I might add that the Negro League Baseball Museum on April 11th will be premiering the new film 42 on the life and times of baseball great Jackie Robinson, who many in this chamber may not know actually began his baseball career in Kansas City for the Kansas City Monarchs. So with that, Mr. President, I would like the body this afternoon to make our guests feel welcome.
Let's make the guests of the center from Ninth feel welcome. We all do look forward to that movie. Any further discussion? Senator from the 10th in Northeast Missouri, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I've noticed an increased awareness already on the roads, and I think both private citizens and MoDOT has done a good job of reminding folks to be aware of motorcyclists. I've seen a lot of signs in people's yards and bumper stickers just saying to be aware, and I appreciate that. I guess I haven't seen an Awareness Month bill pass in a while. Is there anything that comes with an Awareness Month that we will be doing as a state to?
No, I mean, not really. What it does, though, it just promotes awareness. And so when you've got, you know, radio stations and you've got other entities that are looking for PSAs and things like that, this just reminds them, you know, the month of May is Motorcycle Awareness Month. So for your PSAs for the month of May, you know, talk about motorcycle safety, promote motorcycle safety. It just promotes awareness, as does any other bill that we pass that promotes awareness of the topic.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if anything specific came with it, if there was a proclamation or any of that kind of stuff. But I think, no, this makes sense. I know that there's a big movement to create more awareness, and I think that that's a good thing. And so it looks like a good bill, and appreciate your work on this.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other senators desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Bill 72 be perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senate Bill 65 on that order of business. The Senator from Greene County is not in the chamber. Will the Sergeant-at-Arms please retrieve the Senator? Senate Bill 65, Senator from Greene.
Mr. President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar?
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 116, the Senator from the 8th District.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 116 be, with committee substitute, be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 8th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 8th.
All right, Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 116 with committee substitute be adopted. This is the military / overseas voting bill. In 2008, over 300,000 military ballots were rejected. There was even a situation where a plane went down that had ballots or requests for ballots on them. This act, I'm going to tell you a quick story about when I was over in Iraq in 2003 and 2004. The process to get mail when you're deployed can be lengthy. And so I'm going to walk through it. It's going to take a minute or two, but I think I think it'll give you an understanding of why we need this bill. In order to get a ballot, first of all, you have to have a computer, and then you have to print. Not all soldiers readily have computers available, so they have to find one, they have to find a printer, they have to print it, they have to fill it out. After they fill the ballot out, they then have to mail it. And here's the process for the mail. Once it gets turned into the orderly room, which is an office, that office holds it until they have enough mail to take it and forward it to an airbase, which would then load it on an aircraft. That could take a week or so. That aircraft will then go to the rear of the forward area, if you will, and then be put on an airplane. And then that airplane would then fly from overseas to the United States and then deposit it in the normal mail system. That process could take anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks to get your request for a ballot in. Then you have to, once the ballot gets there, then it has to be sent back. It goes through the similar process, but here's one more catch. Sometimes I flew helicopters when I was there, and I was dispatched or attached to another unit. When I was attached to another unit, I wasn't at my home base. So the mail would go to my home base in Iraq. And then it would sit there until they had parts or other things that they needed to get to me or to the people that were deployed with me, and then it would be forwarded to that area. That's to get the ballot. Then you fill it out, and it has to be mailed back in. Obviously, this process could take a long period of time. What this bill does is it makes it a little easier by allowing those individuals to go online and request a ballot online. It requires the Secretary of State to set up an electronic way to request an absentee ballot. It changes some definitions and combines overseas and military voting underneath a covered voter tag. I do have a committee substitute, Mr. President. It has been distributed. I'd like to send this one forward.
Send your committee substitute forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I move for its adoption.
Are you asking for a waiver of the...
I do.
Okay, hearing no objection, it will be granted.
The committee substitute is the research staff and some Board of Elections found some mistakes, and we wanted to correct them here before we got out of this body. It changed the definition that we missed in one section, and it does changes the affidavit to be more consistent with federal law. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute to Senate Bill 116. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 5th was first on her feet seeking recognition that was audible to the chair. For what reason do you rise?
Inquire to senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator. How are you?
I'm good, Senator. How are you?
Good.
Have you a good break?
Great. It was great.
Good.
So, have you talked to the Secretary of State about your proposal?
I have been working with Secretary of State. In fact, they have given us some language, and they were the ones that wanted the overseas voters to be combined with the military voters, and we have worked their changes into this bill.
Okay. And approximately how many voters will benefit from this particular provision overseas?
How many voters would benefit from this? I think that there would be several hundred thousand. Let me see if I think I've got a piece of paper that can explain how many voters we had in a couple elections. Okay. Currently, in 2012, we had 9,800 thereabouts voters overseas, and in 2010, we had 3,391. Thereabouts. So those are the people that would benefit from allowing them to go online and request a ballot be sent to them versus having to actually download the form and mail it in.
So you're basically what you're saying is you're wanting to put this in line with the federal what?
What I'm doing is allowing the Secretary of State H-A-D-A. Primarily to set up a website to allow people that are overseas to request a ballot via the website versus printing a form, filling the form out, and mailing it in. I gave you my illustration of what a military voter has to do to get that done, and if they could get to a computer online and get it filled out, then they can at least have to avoid some of that lag time. To be honest with you, I had to think at least 2 months out in order to get my ballot when I was in Iraq, because if I didn't, that the process to get it would have been timely. It would have been 9 weeks if you assume most mail takes 3 weeks one way, it would be 9 weeks because I'd have to mail my request in, then they would have to mail me the ballot, then I'd have to mail the ballot in. This would cut that down to 6 weeks. Currently, they don't print ballots until 45 days out, so.
You know, Senate Bill 116 would have been a great avenue to deal with an issue that you are concerned about. On another piece of legislation that you're looking to bring forth when it comes to voter fraud. I know you have another bill that we will be hearing soon here in the chamber, and that's dealing with voter fraud. And when we talk about voter fraud, it's not about voter ID, it's really voter fraud by way of absentee ballots. And this is probably the avenue we should have begun to use when dealing with this whole voter fraud issue here in the state of Missouri. So I guess we will have that conversation a little later, but know this, Senator, I do support this particular piece of legislation dealing with voting, but we would talk more about your next piece of legislation dealing with voting.
I look forward to that. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Lewis was first seeking recognition that the chair recognized. For what reason do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the sponsor.
Do you yield to the inquiry, Senator?
I always will.
He always will. Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Now, if I got this right, instead of doing mail, they can request the ballot by email. Is that correct?
Not by email, online database. So they would request it via the mechanism the Secretary of State's going to set it up. I don't think it's necessarily email.
Okay, but they wouldn't have to put up with our postal system.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
They would not have to put up with our postal system that we have.
Well, they still have to, because the ballot still has to be mailed
to
them.
But I mean,
and then
the
they
request.
Have to still mail that ballot back in. It's just avoiding the mailing of the request for
right.
the ballot.
Well, that would shorten the process, but I was going to thank you for bringing this forward because we've got a lot of post offices out in my part of the state that have been closed, and then they closed the sorting center. And everything goes to St. Louis, and we've got people getting 5 days of newspapers on the same day. We're having mail lost. It's been a fiasco. So I think anything you can do to do this, and as I got it, the request will be by electronic verification.
Could be. They can still potentially do the mail-in ballot if they want, but this is another mechanism to allow overseas and military voters to request that ballot via electronic form.
Okay, I want to thank you for doing this because with the mail system that we've got now, it's not very good. I want to thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
The senator's desire to be heard. The senator from the 14th was the first at the chair's office. For what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have several constituents who are overseas. I actually do.
Good. Well, I assume they're in the military or are they overseas doing other
things?
They're
not in the military.
Missionaries?
I have a very large Jewish community and especially a very large Orthodox Jewish community. And it is practice and tradition for many of these families to send their children over to Israel and spend time there. And as we are preparing and as they are preparing for the holiday this weekend, we were all reminded by certain leaders in our Jewish community that we have to go absentee vote, everyone, because they're in a holiday, and they do not go and vote on Election Day because they're strict rules and all that. But they wanted to make sure that their kids and extended family members who are from my district are actually absentee voting. So
I
was really excited about that. And the reason why I mentioned that is because I was looking at this language, and I'm just glad that you added those who are overseas, not in the military.
So. I was at a request from the Secretary of State, and we want to work with everybody to make the best process forward to make sure everybody gets an opportunity to vote.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Thank
Senator.
You, Senator.
Thank you.
Any other senators are to be heard? The senator from Buchanan, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I like your bill. As I'm reading it, though, for the first time, I see that there are a lot of things that the different people have to do, like the election authority, and says the Secretary of State has to implement this electronic free access system, and the fiscal note says it's zero, and I'm just wondering.
No, the most recent fiscal note I got was right here, Senator, and it's a little over $200,000.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a there.
Oh, okay.
It's not a zero fiscal note, but it's not a huge fiscal note either.
Okay, and then what about the cost to local election authorities? I'm just thinking unfunded mandates.
I'm not seeing. Kansas City Election Board says it's something that costs $5,000 per election. So Platte County said $4,700. There is a little bit of stuff to do for their purposes because they have to print the ballots and get them out. But I don't think overall it's too burdensome.
Well, I just wanted to remind you that according to the Constitution, there are no unfunded mandate is allowed under the Missouri Constitution. So,
right. We will burden that cost. We as a legislative body, we as a state, would pass that money on to the counties,
to
in
the
my
counties.
Understanding,
okay.
to take care of that cost.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Be heard. The senator from the 10th, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
You yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, my apologies. I was just talking about agriculture issues with the former senator from Monroe County. And I missed that last inquiry, so hopefully I'm not saying anything. Former senator. So if I'm being duplicative of that last inquiry, I apologize. But I wanted to know when the download is made from the database and then the form is filled out, do they then have to have it signed by a notary, or how does that work?
Well, no. Military voters don't need a notary to notarize their absentee request.
Request, but the actual vote.
And once again, it's not required for a military voter overseas to do that. In fact, I don't even, when I request a vote last November, in fact, I absentee voted, and I didn't have to do that either.
Okay.
If you're on military duty, you do not need a notary because they're not always available. If you're in Iraq, they don't have the seals and everything there to notarize your ballot.
I get that. So what are the safeguards to ensure that, you know, we don't have some, you know, bad person hacking the system and downloading a bunch of ballots for people that live overseas? I mean, what are the safeguards in place?
Well, that was the military. Now, the overseas voters, the other ones that we're talking about, I'm assuming that they can still go to their local bank and get it notarized, and that's, I believe that's still a requirement in the legislation. But the military is a little different category because, obviously, they're not necessarily next to banks and can find people that can notarize. Even though a lot of times we have military people that are notarized, they don't necessarily take their equipment.
No, and I get that, and that makes complete sense, and I don't think we should add that burden. What I'm saying is you know, you get someone who has bad motives, and they are sitting at a computer in the United States, and somehow they've rerouted where they are, and they're downloading things off of the database and saying that they're taking them for,
they're requesting a ballot via an electronic mechanism.
Okay.
And then the ballot is mailed to them.
So the mail still comes to them.
Right. You still have to vote via the card. So all we're doing is eliminating the first mailing, if you will, by doing an electronic request.
So the request is made electronically, and this will be for overseas voters as well. They can, that are not military, they can make the request. Then the ballot is sent to them wherever they're located around the world, and then it's the same rules that apply now for voting absentee.
Right. We're meeting the federal guidelines and our current guidelines, and I believe it's a secure system.
Okay.
Like I said, I've worked with the Secretary of State's office on this. They have given us language. We've incorporated it. So if they thought of a mechanism that we needed, we put it in here.
No, that's perfect. I didn't understand that all we were doing was streamlining the request. I thought that the request was you were going to be able to download the ballot, but you still have to have the ballot mailed to you.
And then
my last question is just out of curiosity, but you know we have a lot of elections in the state of Missouri. I know you're a big fan of all of the elections that we have here in the state, and you love that we get to vote on a regular basis in May or June and April and all of those months. My question is, as an overseas voter or military voter, can they vote on those local races as well?
Let me get this correct. All the state elections, yes. I would say city council, I'm not 100% sure on this. I don't believe it's all the way down to city council. I'm getting other people telling me that it is. I can get that answer for you.
Well, I was just curious, for instance, we're about a week or 10 days away from just three. We've got a health levy question and a couple other things on the Kansas City ballot. And if a service member wanted to vote on those, I was just curious if he or she could do that.
Maybe if Senate Research and my capable chief of staff could tell me, yes, they can.
They can. All right. I was curious. I'm sure there'll be a ton of votes coming in from Afghanistan relating to the health levy extension.
Hey, I just voted absentee for the two questions we have on the Lee Summit ballot.
Right, right. Well, very good. Well, Senator, I appreciate your answering those questions, and it looks like a great bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion to adopt the Senate substitute by the senator from the 8th District in Jackson County? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from the 8th has renewed his motion to adopt the Senate substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I now move the Senate bill as amended be declared perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 8th renews his motion that this Senate, that Senate Bill 116 as amended by the Senate substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same order of business, Senate Bill 61, the senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 61 with a committee amendment number 1 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 4th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move adoption of Senate Committee Amendment number 1, and I ask the body to defeat the amendment. This amendment was put on my, obviously it was put on my bill in committee, and it requires that to fund this study, that the study would be funded by private donations. And there's not really a good reason to do it with private donations. As a matter of fact, I believe it'll taint the results of the study. So, you know, this is a death penalty audit bill. It's about, it instructs the state auditor to compare the cost of 30 randomly selected murder cases, 10 of which the death penalty was sought and obtained, 10 in which the death penalty was sought but not obtained, and 10 cases in which sentence of life without parole was sought and obtained. So all we're doing with the bill is taking a good look at what the death penalty costs us and compare it with the other results of first-degree murder. And with that, Mr. President, I'll answer any questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 4th to adopt the Senate Committee Amendment, number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th in St. Louis County, for what reason do you rise?
Yes, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I don't have the amendment in front of me. Can you tell me what your amendment does?
It's not my amendment. It was put on in the committee hearing.
Okay. It was just unclear. I was looking for an amendment.
The fiscal note on the bill is about $160,000, I think. And an amendment was put on the bill to fund that through private donations. And I'm asking the body in the adoption motion to defeat that amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other senator desire to be heard. The senator from the 24th in St. Louis County, for what reason you rise?
Fire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, your concern that outside donations funding this study might taint the study. Who actually will do the study?
The auditor.
Okay, so I think it's safe to say that the auditor is unbiased as can be, and we certainly hold that office to that standard. So I think the thought that you are concerned that you have that depending upon who funds this study would impact the auditor's results, I think that that's not a good argument.
Well, Senator, we don't ask private donations to fund any other study or audit that the auditor performs. So I don't know the underlying reason to pick this one study to have private donations funded.
Does the state have a history of, what's the closest thing to the study that the state's done? Have we done studies where the auditor's been asked to try to decide if seeking parole early has a positive net benefit, financial benefit? I mean, have we done anything close to this?
I am not aware of the state ever taking a good look at the costs of the death penalty. I will tell you that other states have done it.
I mean, I'm saying, have we done Has the auditor's office taken a good look at, you know, you're doing kind of a random study? Really, quite frankly, you don't have enough. You'll have 10 data points is not really a good number. You need, 40 data points for a normal distribution, as you know.
Right.
But I'm just curious, have we studied something, has the auditor's office studied something else kind of like this?
Actually, I'm not aware of that. This started out to be an audit of the death penalty, and working with the auditor's office, they thought that that would be pretty insurmountable.
Okay.
The amount of data that they would have to compile. So they asked to change it to a study and just do a sampling.
Do you have a preconceived notion in your head? I mean, I have a preconceived, I think that when we seek the death penalty and as a result of all the appeals and all that process, I feel just a gut feeling that it probably costs the state a lot more than just to put somebody away for life. Do you have the same kind of gut feeling?
I do have that feeling. But again, that's why I'm asking to do the study. We've never looked at it. And in these budgetary times, why not open our eyes and take a look and see what this is actually costing? I can't think of a better way to use state resources than to see how we're spending tax dollars.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we have that capacity to decide through the appropriations process. We have the opportunity time and time again to understand if we're spending tax dollars appropriately. You know, I don't understand your opposition. I think if you let this pass with the amendment as it stands, I would be surprised if some third-party group doesn't fund it, because if that third-party group were to do the same analysis on their own, then I think it would be very easy for others to suggest that the outcome was biased. I think that for this bill as written, to allow a third-party group to essentially hire the auditor's office, I don't think that there's a cleaner stamp of approval that let's be frank, so a group that's anti-death penalty, for them to be able to hire the auditor's office to do this analysis, and if the analysis is going to show what your gut feeling, and quite frankly, my gut feeling tends to suggest, I think you'd be surprised how quickly this would be funded.
You know, but I don't even want to go down that road with it. We don't do it for any other program that we do.
Senator, this is...
When the municipalities petition
right.
the auditor's office to come in and audit them, we don't make the municipality pay for that.
Senator, but let's just be frank and honest here. This is not purely a financial. You're asking for a financial analysis on
I disagree completely. This is strictly financial. Now, as a result of this, we may have another conversation, but this is strictly financial.
Senator, I think that the amendment as it stands today, I think that that allows this bill to get through this body and hopefully signed into law. And I do think that a third party would readily fund it, if simply for the fact that then it would allow the auditor's office to put its seal on the findings. And I think the findings will be what you think they might be. And I think for some, that would be worth having. I think for us to stop and to spend $160,000 to do a study on something when there's not any other legislation pending, I think it's a little bit to ask. I'll support your bill with the amendment on it. I'll have challenges with it without. So thank you very much for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Desire to be heard, the senator from Grundy. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. This is your annual death penalty discussion.
Well, I won't say annual. I think this is the second time we've had it.
Okay. And what happened last year, or the last year, or the year before, whenever the last time was we had this discussion?
I never got it to the floor last year, but I did offer up an amendment on it that included it. And I actually, I got in a pretty good discussion with the senator from Cape about it.
Okay. And so other states have done this.
Other states have.
And what have they found?
This is the one that raised my eyebrows.
Okay.
The state of Maryland.
Okay. I'm not sure we want to benchmark ourselves after Maryland, but that's okay. We'll have that discussion.
In Maryland, an average death penalty case resulted in a death sentence cost approximately $3 million.
Okay.
The eventual cost of Maryland taxpayers for cases pursued from 1978 to 1999 was $186 million.
Okay.
Five executions resulted. So they spent almost $200 million to execute five people.
Okay.
So all I'm saying here, and I'm not even having a discussion about the merits or the pros or the cons of the death penalty.
But that's, what this is all about. What this is about.
I won't disagree.
This is always about how do we get to the point where we say the death penalty is bad. Well, here, let me make it real simple. My prediction is, if your study was done, they would find that the death penalty, if someone actually goes the full distance, is put to death, costs more than locking them up for life. But the death penalty is a deterrent. When bad people do something so horrific that a jury of their peers say, this person should be put to death. That is a bar that is so high to hit that, you know what, there's a deterrent, and that's what it's about. It's not about cost.
And that's fine. Let's just see how much this deterrent is costing us.
But, Senator, I can stand here on the floor without spending any money. We don't have to spend any money to do a study here. I can tell you right now, the death penalty is going to be more expensive than life in prison. But you know what? The deterrent of the death penalty is, my opinion, worth that.
We've got 47
people.
I
believe that we today, more than ever, live in a society where the consequences of right and wrong have been forgotten. And right, wrong, indifferent, I'm not debating whether it's going to cost more. I'm saying that historically, what's that?
Then you vote for the bill?
I don't need to vote for the bill. The bill doesn't need to go anywhere because I can tell you today going to be the outcome. We're going to spend a bunch of money for something that we already know the outcome of. That's my point. I mean, you and I, we've had this discussion before offline. I mean, we're not creating new ground here, but I don't want anyone to be confused. This is a discussion about how do we stop the death penalty from occurring. That's what it's always been. That's the process that it happens in every state. And I respectfully understand that you and I are on opposite sides of this. I get it. We might philosophically disagree with what we should or shouldn't do. But the point is that I don't know why we need to do the study, because I can tell you today what the outcome of the study is going to be, because I don't know of any state, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're way more versed in this than I am, I don't know of any state that's ever done the study that has came back and said, oh yeah, it's a lot cheaper to...
I'm not aware of that either.
Yeah. So we know what it's going to say.
So let's
agree or not. I mean, do we agree that we know what the outcome is going to be?
I think we agree that we're going to find out that the death penalty is pretty expensive.
Okay, so then the question becomes, if we already know what it's going to be, why are we wasting the auditor's time and the resources of a state to go conclude what we already know?
I don't believe it's a waste. I mean, why do you... He audits municipality after municipality just to find out what's going wrong. Or even ones that don't have problems. Is that a waste?
Well, it's part of state statute, right? He's following the state statute, which is what he's...
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to pass a state statute.
I know. I already know the outcome of the statute. Like, it's like, here's the shiny object. Or no, it's like the little snowball thing that my kids like to have at Christmas. They shake the thing up and it has all the little snowflakes, and my son loves to look in there and see what it's going to be. It's going
to
be Santa Claus when all the snow stops. Well, guess what? I can tell you it's going to be Santa Claus. I can tell you already. My point is, Senator, I don't know what we're achieving by doing this. If this is a discussion about the death penalty, then let's just have the discussion about the death penalty.
No, I think we need to find the facts and figures before we have any kind of discussion, because it's such an emotional issue. Let's quantify it as best that we can, and that's all I'm trying to do here.
And so the senator from Buchanan here said that we're actually arguing an amendment, the piece that you're trying to take out, the piece that would make it...
I'm trying to take out the piece to make it privately funded, yeah.
And so
I want the state to pick it up.
And I'm saying it doesn't matter if the state pays for it or the private entity pays for it. Either way, we're spending good money for something that we already know what the outcome is going to be. That's my point.
We know generally what the outcome is going to be, but let's see what it is.
Has there ever been a state that has found other than what we just talked about?
No.
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
So we know it's going to be more expensive. So the real discussion here just needs to become, let's fast forward all through the studies. We don't need a study in this particular case. We do a lot of studies, but let's have the discussion. Are we going to continue to have the death penalty or not? Let's just let the legislature decide. Are we going to continue down that road or are we not?
It may only be marginally more expensive, or it could be extremely more expensive.
I think
we'll be able to say, you know, it may be a little more expensive. I think we ought to have it just for the deterrent factor, and that's fine. Or it could be extremely more expensive,
And we should still have it
because, and say,
and we still, and we can still have it because of the deterrent factor.
Well, no. Well, number one, public safety will tell you it's not a deterrent factor.
Well, I've not heard that from public safety, but there
is no deterrent factor on it.
Well, because it didn't happen.
Because it's an emotional issue.
I'm not sure about that. I mean,
it's my opinion.
Yeah.
It feels good to hit back.
My opinion is there should be severe consequences when you make a conscious decision to take someone else's life. And that is what the death penalty is there for. So we're on opposite ends of this. We're clearly not finding common ground. And I guess what the legislature is going to decide is, do we want to spend good money from hardworking Missourians to fund a study that we already know the outcome of? Or do we want to do the fiscally responsible thing and just defeat this across the board and move on to the next order of business?
I think if it's just about saving money, then we know the answer, right?
If it's just about saving money. But I don't believe this discussion is just about saving money. This is about how do you deter. And you and I may disagree on whether or not this is a deterrent. But, man, Senator, every time we've had this discussion, we all know where this is leading to. First, you do the study.
So,
and the study says, oh, my goodness, it's very expensive to have the death penalty.
I can't believe you're taking the attitude, let's close our eyes to the facts.
No, I'm acknowledging the facts here. I'm conceding the facts. The fact is, it's expensive. I'm saying I'm okay with the fact because I believe that there should be a deterrent. And I believe that when a jury of your peers when they make the decision to take the most severe action at their disposal, and that is death, that they should have that right. And I believe that where we're really going here is not about debating the cost of the death penalty. Where we're really going here, Senator, the ultimate goal here is how do you eliminate or stop the use of the death penalty.
I'm not that.
That's where I think we're actually headed here.
I'm not that shrewd, Senator.
No, I'm not saying you are. It might be this person who comes after you. But you know what? I remember that little fellow that was here before you. I mean, if that wasn't walking the line, I don't know what is.
I guess the gavel's
broke. I think the President Pro Tem's, he's clearly in thought up there. Something is happening. After spring break, I guess
the senator from Johnson never would have allowed.
No, the senator from Johnson would have clearly followed the rule of the Senate, would have dropped the gavel accordingly. But with that said, Senator, I don't want to prolong this painful process. Clearly, I hope my colleagues defeat the amendment. Then I hope they defeat the bill, and then I hope they defeat every amendment that you offer from here on forward on this bill.
And, obviously,
again, it's the will of the body.
And I just voted for your bill.
Well, you're a great American. I'm not debating that. You're a great American with a bad idea. That happens all the time, Senator. So I appreciate it, but clearly we all know what the outcome is going to be, and the need for a study, in my humble opinion, is not there. So thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Buchanan was the first that the chair
senator from the
heard. You yield the inquiry from your colleague from Northwest Missouri.
I do.
He does proceed.
I enjoyed the inquiry of the senator from Worth, but I have a little slightly different viewpoint than he does. One of the things is that I am opposed to the death penalty. I wouldn't be. I would be very much in favor of it, but for what Governor Carnahan did when he let the one guy off when the Pope came to town. Do you remember
that? Yeah.
And to me, the rule of law was subverted there. The next guy after the guy that was let off went to his death. But just because the Pope came to town, this one guy was set free. And that to me was so foreign that I said, if that's even a possibility, I can't be in favor of the death penalty.
It's pretty arbitrary, right?
Right. It's just arbitrary. And I'm sure that may not be the reason that you're opposed. But the senator from the 24th said that he would support the bill if the amendment went on. I'm like that. I am in complete agreement with the senator from Sullivan, who basically said, we already know, I don't want to spend tax dollars, you know, paying for this study that I already know the result of. Let somebody else pay for it. But I do think
what else are we going to do that with?
Well, isn't that what this amendment
Well, yeah, that's what that amendment does. But
well, let's leave the amendment on.
But we don't require that from anybody else.
Well, but so what? I mean, if we already know what the study's going to show, why do we have to pay for it? Let's let volunteer people pay for it. But I do see the value in the study because I think that it is worthwhile to know how much. So I'm going to take the position of the senator from the 24th. If the amendment passes, I'll vote for the bill. But if the amendment doesn't pass, then I'm opposed.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 9th.
Thank you. May I inquire of the senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. That was interesting discussion, of course, Senator. I thank you and one of the previous senators. Now, let me ask you this. I think it's always been said that it's more expensive. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a prosecutor. Why is it typically more expensive? Is it just because of appeals or those type of things? Or
actually, no. The expensive part is when it gets to sentencing. At the sentencing portion of the trial, there's two portions of the trial. There's the guilty and not right. guilty, and then there's the sentencing.
Right.
When the defense attorneys, when it gets to the sentencing portion, they can go back through a person's whole lifetime to determine their character. So it's very time-consuming process, very fact-intensive. They put it together, and then they present, you know, what kind of person this is to the jury before the jury really decides whether it's to give them the death penalty or life without parole.
Right. Now, I heard the figure earlier in Maryland, it was almost $200
million
for death penalty cases, but I didn't hear, maybe I missed it, the disparity between the death penalty and those that were in life without parole. Did you have that information, too, or maybe you had?
It varies by state. Some states they've come back 30% more expensive for death. Some states have been 1,000% more expensive,
oh, wow. Okay.
Which is why I think we ought to have a study.
I agree with the study. And, you know, this whole death penalty thing is an emotional issue. It happens to be one. Clearly, we have it, you know, here in state law. I certainly, because of my foundation, could not be one that would be able to sit on a jury and inflict the death penalty. I understand that it's a deterrent, but so is life in prison without parole. I mean, I don't know which one would be more of a deterrent for me, whether it happened to be death or whether it happened to be that I rot in jail for the rest of my life. So, with that, thank you very much for the inquiry.
Thank you. To be heard, the senator from Polk. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from 4th, you yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
How are you, Senator?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to going bowling.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of familiar conversation. Seems like we've had this discussion before somewhere. Even the senator from the 12th, which is not always right about everything he does, but I kind of agree with him on this.
Normally, he is.
So I just kind of want you to know that. But I do. I know we had talked earlier when this thing went through the committee process that you knew my concerns about this. You know where I'm at.
Yep.
On the end result, the end game is going to be, regardless of what we say today, it's not in your bill, but they'll use this information to do the death sentence. Is what more than likely that's what's happened. Other states have done it. Other places done it. And that's what they're going to use it for. And fine and dandy if somebody wants to do that. I guess the point I had in committee that I want to make to you, I don't think the taxpayers of Missouri ought to be responsible for that. Because even as much as I probably believe a different way, I believe I know the outcome of what the study's going to say. Without a doubt, I think I could stand in front of this body today and tell you it's going to cost more to do the death sentence than it is life imprisonment, is what I think that's study is going to say.
Well, let me ask you.
So,
the taxpayers are paying for that. Why not at least let them pay for the study?
Well, because I don't think that's what they want to do. My opinion is, and in my district that I represent, I don't want to make that vote for that. I think if there's truly people that want to do this and want to pursue that against the laws of the state of Missouri, what's currently on our book, they have every right to do that. And we've talked about that. And if they want to do that, and if they want to pay to do research, if they want to pay to do study, and they want to come back and bring that information back to us, which is I think it'll end up in front of us again, maybe in committee before me and you leave here at a different discussion, I think that's where we're headed to with this, the end of the day.
I'm just trying to open our eyes, Senator.
You know what? There's no question. I know a couple of years ago there was many of us, I think actually the minority leader at the time was on that panel also, and
another senator from Southwest Missouri tried to reform the penal structure in the state, which I do think we need to look at that constantly. But this is one that's without a doubt, is a very emotional issue, right, and it has a large significance to it. And when you see people that's been on either side of this issue, you know, those are just tough old arenas to be in, whether you've lost somebody by a serious right. crime or whether you've got somebody in the system. However, I would ask you not to take it out. The funding portion of it, I mean, I want the funding. If a private source wants to do that, if they want to do research, they want to do study, that's up to them. And I can probably, I guess, live with that for what you're wanting to do. But if it comes to us paying for it, I don't think of all the money we would spend, taxpayer dollars, is going to change the end result of what's going to come out of it, because I believe there's already states that's done that, and I believe from being involved in that arena for a while, I know what the end result's going to be. I don't doubt that. So if that's truly the case, why do we want to spend money on that?
Because we need to quantify the amount. I mean, just like I explained to the senator from Lawrence, it's, you know, if it's only a little bit more expensive, maybe the people of Missouri want to say, you know what, it's not costing us that much more. Let's not even have discussion. Let's just keep it. Even if it's a lot more expensive, the people of Missouri want to say, you know, I know I'm spending a lot of money. This is what I'm spending. You know, that's fine. In our opinion, it's worth it. And I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But I think we ought to give them the information so that they can make that kind of judgment.
Right. And you want that shot to have that opportunity. Because in my opinion, regardless, I believe in the death penalty, and I know other people are passionate that doesn't, but I don't think the dollar amount changes my opinion of that. In other words, what it costs is probably not how I base my belief on that. But I also understand that there is people that believe opposite of what I do in this chamber and outside of this building. But if you're going to move forward with the bill, the only thing I would ask is that let somebody else fund it, because I don't think the end result is anything that they're going to study out of this or we're going to pay for. I don't know really what that's going to change that we don't know right tonight on this floor.
Again,
that's me.
Yeah, you and I aren't going to agree on this. And we've had this discussion before I tried to strip the amendment off. You know, I think we ought to give the taxpayer the information and then let the taxpayer decide. It's a value judgment for them. And, you know, they're the ones that put us here. They're the ones that elect us. I think it's money well spent. We can go back to the taxpayer and say, you know, it costs you three times more to execute a guy than to lock him in a hole forever. And and because we're spending all this money, we can't properly fund all this other stuff. But it's up to the taxpayer. If they want to continue to do that, I'm fine with that.
And Senator, when it comes to dollars and cents, I probably don't have an argument for you. But it's what you believe in. And that's what you really get down to this, whether it's right or it's wrong, the end result of where we're headed. That's what this is all going to come down to someday. As far as what it costs to do this or that, I don't think that probably determines most of our opinions here in this room either. And what it comes down to is you either believe in the death sentence or you don't.
Right.
And does that deserve to be on the floor and have that discussion? Sure, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. We ought to be talking about it.
Well, I thank you for the inquiry. I sure don't want to be at the taxpayers' expense of paying for the study. So.
Thank you, Senator.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, the Senator's desire to be heard. Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from 4th, do you yield? Do you yield to the inquiry?
Do.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And to try to avoid the appearance of piling on, let me ask you two questions.
I'm sorry, Senator.
On the amendment, could you just, I missed most of your explanation of the amendment. Could you briefly tell me what the amendment does?
The amendment says that the private donations are required to conduct the study.
Okay, so it moves the responsibility for funding from the state to private donors.
Yes.
Okay. And then on the underlying bill, let me ask you a question. Do you consider the death penalty an economic issue, an economic question?
Personally, no.
Okay, so, I mean, that's what this appears to be. It appears to be saying that we think that this is a question of economics. We ought to do whatever's cheapest. Are there ways we could reduce the cost of the death penalty?
No, there's not. I mean, and you're old enough to remember when we abolished the death penalty.
Do you think that's what we should do? Should we be looking at spending less money to convict somebody and send them to the gas chamber?
But we can't. We can't. In order to reinstate the death penalty, the Supreme Court set so many specific benchmarks that you have to meet. That's what we chose to reinstate. We chose to meet those when we decided to reinstate the death penalty.
Should we include in this study an examination of the various costs that go into the cost of the death penalty? Maybe we can reduce some of the legal requirements. Maybe we can do some of the court appeals. Maybe we can restrict some of that.
Mr. President, I'm having a hard time hearing the senator. So,
we have a little order in this chamber so the senators can debate.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. And if you need me to move my mic up a little bit, I can, too. But I said, do you think we should include in the study an examination of the various alignment of the cost? I mean, maybe a large portion of these goes into legal fees. Maybe we should try to reduce the legal fees in the defense or in the sentencing.
I would be open to that. I tried to make this as affordable as possible, just comparing the three different outcomes. But if you want to expand the scope, and we're not looking for private donations, I would be more than willing to accept that amendment.
Well, and I guess, my concern, Senator, is I absolutely do not consider the death penalty an economic issue. If I was on a jury and the death penalty was being considered and somebody proposed that it was cheaper to put somebody to death than to put them in prison for life, I can confess to you, that would have no influence on my opinion of whether they should be put to death.
Well,
and I think that's what this bill suggests, is that we should be looking at the economics of whether it's cheaper to put someone to death or not. I think that's completely the wrong thing to look at when you're looking at someone, at a sentence that involves somebody's life, to even involve economics, to me, is just an inappropriate
Well, the economics are the reality of the thing.
I'm sorry?
The economics are the reality of the thing, you know.
Well, that's right, but that's not the issue. The issue at hand is justice. It's not economics. It would be a lot cheaper to reduce the amount of appeals that people can make in court, to reduce the amount of adjudication in terms of sentencing. And I appreciate your inquiry, Senator. Thank you, and Mr. President, thank you.
Senator from the Fourth.
Would you please place this bill on the informal calendar?
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Staying on that same, Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of messages from the governor and would ask that the reading be waived and the message be printed in the journal.
There are messages from the governor. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived and it will be printed in the journal. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill No. 72, begs leave to report. It has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer House Concurrent Resolution 16 and House Concurrent Resolution 19 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics. Also,
they shall be referred.
Mr. President, would you please refer House Bill 55 with Senate Committee substitute to the Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee?
Okay, that bill shall be referred. Do you care to send those gubernatorial appointments to the gubernatorial appointments committee?
You read my mind, Mr. President. Yes,
I would. The secretary actually read your mind. So is that your motion to send those?
She is like our very own Radar O'Reilly.
Hearing your request, those appointments shall be referred to said committee. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate will go to order of business for announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand adjourned under the rules.